Blog Talk Radio.
And good evening, everyone. This is another edition of the Greg Crawford on Sports Business Show. We bring you this show every Tuesday night where we have a wide array of guests on all kinds of different topics, especially focusing on the world of sports business. And tonight I'm going to talk to an old friend who's a young guy, Jovan Alford, and he is based in Philadelphia. And Jovan has a great website, Total Sports Live. He's also doing some great things. He's going to be a big star in the journalism field. And we really look forward to talking to him always. I am Greg Crawford. You can follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. And then crawfordsgolfdaily.blogspot.com, where we talk about golf and sports business. But if you can't listen to this show live each Tuesday, it is podcasted forever, and we have a lot of fun with it. And Blog Talk Radio does a great job allowing you to be on the air. And here's another guy that does a great job always, Jovan Alford, out of Philadelphia and a rising media star, going to be big time one of these days. And how are you tonight, Jovan?
I'm doing good. Just, you know, got finished watching a very exciting NBA Finals. And, you know, just checking the Twitter and all the reactions and all that, you know, good stuff that comes with it. The NBA Finals and the end of it.
Jovan, what's the most interesting tweet you've seen so far? Because you're so good at social media as well as your journalistic skills. You do a great job with it. What surprised you or something interesting tweeted out after the game?
The most, it's kind of interesting and kind of funny at the same time. All the people that are on Twitter calling everybody else LeBron haters. Like, that's been like the most like used tweet the whole entire night. You're a LeBron hater. Trust me, there has been many times tonight where I have gotten that tweet in my mention about me being a hater, which is not true, but I let them believe that.
Yeah, and you know, it you kind of get those things if you say anything negative about LeBron, right?
Right. And it's like somebody I was talking to tonight, they said, we're not hating on LeBron. It's not him. It's the fans of him that people do not like. They don't like. Everybody likes LeBron, because let's think about it. LeBron really haven't done anything off the court or on the court that has been bad. He's really been a good steward of the game. It isn't about what he's done off the court. It's about his fans, and it's about the decision which still has people, you know, stuck in the crawl. And, you know, God forbid if you mention tonight that he's 2-4 in the NBA Finals, then you're just a bad person. But that's just been the most interesting tweet I've seen tonight. Also, a lot of people have been tweeting his Game 5 press conference where he basically said that he's the greatest player in the world. So that's the kind of things I've been seeing tonight. And also, shout out to Andre Iguodala. That's another thing I've been seeing too.
Yeah, who was voted the MVP. Jovan, break it down. Did this series kind of go the way you wanted it to go? I'm going to take that back, the way you thought it would go. And also, it's going to be a great off season. I mean, you got so much going on here, probably more than since the 2010 LeBron decision. I mean, you're going to find out where LaMarcus Aldridge is going here in Portland. We're going to find out if Kevin Love comes back. We've got a lot of things going on. Derrick Rose has got to get better in Chicago. We'll see if the Clippers do something to make their team better, because they certainly are a threat. And I'm sure San Antonio wants to make a last run. It's going to be a great offseason in the NBA.
Oh, yeah, definitely going to be a great offseason in the NBA. Like you said, a lot of teams are going to have to, you know, make a lot of moves. And you mentioned just in Portland, you know, what they're going to do with LaMarcus Aldridge is really big, because he's going to have suitors. He already probably does with the Spurs and, you know, and the Mavericks. probably wanting his services because he's definitely going to provide them with some help. And then, you know, Marc Gasol, the Grizzlies, he's going to have some suitors, his own team, the Knicks, the Spurs. So there's a lot of movement and change. And like you said, a lot of teams are going to have to improve from this. But I also think that we're starting to see a change of style in the NBA from the past two NBA Finals champions. And we're seeing it I think the Eastern Conference has to start adapting to the way that the Western Conference has to play, in that the Western Conference, even with the Spurs, like we saw last year, you can, you know, speak on this because you're a West Coast guy and you watch a lot of Western Conference hoops over there in Portland. We see the Spurs, even though at their age, they were still able to push, they were still pushing the pace. And the same thing we had the Warriors, they were pushing the pace. But what both these teams had this season, where they had good benches, they had great benches, where Steve Kerr wasn't afraid to take Steph Curry out the game for 5 minutes and say, Sean Livingston, you run the point guard. And the same thing for the Spurs. Popovich wasn't scared to take Parker out for 5 minutes as you insert Patty Mills. So I think that's one thing that teams probably had to look at and think in the offseason. Do we got to start playing at a faster pace? Do we got to start playing better defense? And secondly, do we got to have a better bench? Because you literally want – what these finals also showed, like I said, the finals have showed us, is your bench kind of has to be your second team. And if they play like that, like what the Warriors did this postseason and what the Spurs did last postseason, then you can have a good mixture and make a deep run where you're not gassed and, you know, where you're not gassed like the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Jovan, let me ask you about, you know, the what do you think, just some real quick questions about the NBA. Mm-hmm. You know, when we used to do a show together, which was a lot of fun, we may revive something one of these days. Hopefully that would be a big deal for me. I'd love to do that. But, you know, one of our guests we talked to was Stan Love. And, of course, that's the father of Kevin. Do you think I personally do not think Kevin's going to stay in Cleveland. What do you think?
I don't think he's going to stay in. I don't think he's going to stay in Cleveland either, to be honest with you, just because, and it's not because of Love. And I think Cleveland fans, I know there was some LeBron, there's some Cleveland fans that I know that really underappreciated Kevin Love and, you know, saying, you know, but he would have been a big help in this NBA Finals, I'll tell you that much, stretching the defense as a stretch four. So I don't think he's going to be in Cleveland because Tristan Thompson is going to garner a lot of money. And we already saw earlier this season, I think it was before this season began, he rejected a four-year, $52 million offer from the Cavs. And, you know, his agent is Rich Paul, and Rich Paul's agent, and Rich Paul is also LeBron's agent and, you know, Aaron Bledsoe's agent. So, you know, Rich Paul's going to try to get the most money for his client. And I don't think that after this finals performance that Tristan Thompson had, I don't think Cleveland's going to let him walk out the door. So I think Kevin Love probably be best suited somewhere else this upcoming season.
Where do you think he goes?
To be honest with you, I could see Kevin Love going. I could see Kevin Love in L.A. with the Lakers. I really could see that. I could
yeah,
see
I
Kevin
think
Love
that's common,
in the Lakers.
Kind of the common thread there. I do think he's looking also at Boston, and
uh-huh.
I will say this as well, if Aldridge, which is my next question to you, does leave Portland, don't think it might not be a long shot him coming to Portland, his hometown, Kevin Love. Do you think LaMarcus Aldridge is going to leave Portland? And I want to ask you too, Jovan, I think a team, you mentioned the front runners, I think if he does leave, and I agree with that, but I don't think you can rule out the other Texas team, Houston. I think they
uh-huh.
always seem to come up with some big free agent that nobody thinks they're going to get, and I think that's a possibility in there. What do you think?
Oh, definitely. I agree with you on that notion. I think, you know, Kevin Love, you know, if Portland does lose out on LaMarcus Aldridge for any reason, just because the team outbid him and, you know, he thinks he's a better fit than another team, then they should automatically go to Kevin Love, because Kevin Love would just bring a whole different dimension to that team. and he won't be looked at as, you know, that big three, how when he came into Cleveland, he was the big three. And I don't think that, you know, that was the right era for him to be, you know, in that kind of, you know, spotlight as the big three, you know, because they was all hyping it up to be the next, this, the new big three, and this, that, and the third. I think if he goes to a team like the Blazers, he won't have to be that big three because they'll already have a star in there, Damian Lillard. And he'll just fit right in with Lillard and help him keep on progressing as a point guard. Because what people forget about Kevin Love is the dude can play basketball. He's a double-double machine, and he can put up points in bunches and get rebounds in bunches, and one of the best outlet passers in the game. So I could definitely see him going to Portland, and then LaMarcus Aldridge. I wouldn't even you bringing him Houston, I wouldn't be surprised. I really wouldn't be surprised because, they it obviously showed them that they were able to get to the Western Conference Finals, but they need just a little bit more extra. And maybe having a guy like LaMarcus Aldridge paired up with Dwight Howard and having a Josh Smith possibly come off the bench, or Josh Smith playing extra small forward. And I don't know Trevor Ariza's contract, so I can't, you know, say, well, say put Smith in the starting lineup, but put him to the bench or the starting lineup. But if you add LaMarcus Aldridge, that would probably help out Dwight Howard so much and probably help Houston go over the hump, because Houston got to the Western Conference Finals with this roster that they have constructed. Like you said, they always make some kind of splash, some kind of big move. They took a chance on Josh Smith, and that panned out for them. So they were this close to going to the NBA Finals. So they just got to make a couple more tweaks moving here, and getting a LaMarcus Aldridge will probably definitely help them out.
Jovan, let's really get crazy here. One final NBA question. Who wins the NBA championship next year?
Wow. Really throwing me to the fire on this one. If I had to say NBA champion next year, I mean, if you think about it, you can't rule out Golden State, because they're going to bring back the same team. You can't rule them out. Again, you can't rule out the Spurs either, because they're going to give it one more shot. They're going to give it. The West, I can see. Who? The West, I can see either Golden State or San Antonio coming out the West. This is just really early basis. So all the listeners that are listening, don't kill us when we make these predictions. You know, it's just the finals, just in it. Don't kill us on them. And then Eastern Conference, oh, this is so hard. Eastern Conference, I want to say Atlanta, but I don't know. I don't know if that was just a one-hit wonder. If you got to say the Eastern Conference, you got to put the Cleveland Cavaliers right up there in that top team that could come out the East. I mean, they befell the injury, but what I say for the Cavs and Dan Gilbert is they better get LeBron James some bench help, or they're going to be in the same situation again next year in the NBA Finals. So, probably say Cavs come out the East again, and then out the West, I'll have either Golden State or San Antonio coming out the West.
Yeah, and I actually think Golden State's got a great chance to repeat next year. I wasn't a believer in them until they actually won the thing, but they made a believer out of me, and I think they've got a very good chance to win it all next year. Jovan, you follow? You got so much going on. And before we go any further, where can people read you now? I know you've got a lot of things you're writing. You've got a great career going. You started a great website when you were pretty young that continues to thrive. How can people read you, and how can they get a hold of you?
Pretty much people can to read my stuff. They can pretty much just follow TotalSportsLive.com. Just, you know, everything's literally on there. There's a gluttony of information. You know, you need your Philadelphia sports, you can get it there as well. You can get your national news there as well. I know there was a man that once told me, he's doing this podcast with me right now, that told me, you know, you got to consolidate, you got to not wear yourself out thin. Greg told me about that, not wearing yourself out thin. So everything you can find out is on TotalSportsLive.com, and people can get in contact with me. I'm on Twitter, just @JovanTen. I'm literally on Twitter mostly throughout the day. So if you've got like anything, comments, questions, or anything, you can just tweet me and I'll, you know, respond back. I'm not one of those people that, you know, don't respond to tweets. That's how I respond to everybody's tweets. Even if you're trying to call me a hater, I'll still respond back to you.
Very good. You know, Jovan, I think that forever Philadelphia and Portland are going to be linked at the hip. I think Portland a lot more than Philadelphia got so much going on out there, but, you know, nobody's ever going to forget that 77, one of the weirdest NBA finals of all time when it looked like Philadelphia is just going to smash Portland and win in the first two games, and then they lose four straight, the big fight. Maurice Lucas, Daryl Dawkins. Sure, it was in 1977, but when it comes to the NBA, there's no forgetting, even if you weren't born yet.
Oh, no, definitely. Like you said, there, you know, these two franchises always connected to the hip, and I swore this week I heard something about the 77 finals between the Blazers and the Sixers. I think it was saying how the Sixers were up and then the Blazers came back and won the series. So I think they were talking about that. So I think it was either this week or last week, but I remember seeing something about it. Like you said, both franchises are kind of connected at the hip because, you know, that kind of changed the direction for both franchises. You know, Portland gets their title. Philly didn't get their title at that year. It took a couple more years for them to get their NBA title. So it kind of, you know, it's funny how we look at NBA champions and finals and how that kind of, like, sets a direction for each franchise. And, you know, both franchises, one's on the up and up, the other one's on the down and is trying to figure out some things. Portland's on the up and up, and Sixers currently are trying to find some things on. But, well, you know, we'll see what happens. Like you said, it's kind of, you know, connected at the hip because a lot of people don't talk about that final series as much as they probably should.
Let me ask you, Jovan, is Philadelphia, the 76ers, is it just a messed up franchise? Or someday they're going to break out of it? The second part of that question is, what do the people in Philadelphia really think of Allen Iverson?
Well, I would say, to answer the first question about the Sixers, I think the fans here, they, you know, they still pack in the Wells Fargo Center. I can't tell you how many fans are literally excited to see the Sixers in uniforms on Thursday. A lot of fans are really excited to see this. I think they're really trying to figure out what Sam Hinkie's plans is, where nobody really knows what this man is thinking. You don't know what he's thinking, who he wants to do, who he wants to trade. You never know what he wants to do. I think fans are optimistic, but they're kind of getting tired of the waiting and the losing. They want winning. They want winning basketball. They want playoff basketball. They want to see talent on the court. So I think that's where that is. And then when it comes to Allen Iverson, fans love Allen Iverson here. He's the heart and soul of the Sixers. You know, he represents a lot of what us basketball fans here in Philly, you know, remember about the Sixers. We remember Allen Iverson crossing up MJ. We remember Allen Iverson, you know, leading role players to the NBA Finals and winning one game over the Lakers and stepping over Tyronn Lue. We just remember all that stuff. We remember all that stuff, the great battle between when Ray Allen was with the Bucks and Vince Carter was with the Raptors. I'm really showing my age right here. But, you know, Allen Iverson represents the heart and soul of Philadelphia and showing you never give up and you leave it all out there on the court every night. And that's what he showed. That's what he showed fans. I think that's why fans, you know, still love him to this day, because every game he gave his all the time.
You know, speaking of the Portland-Philadelphia connection, it's not Portland, but it's the state of Oregon, now has a connection for maybe quite some time, and maybe not in the NFL. You never know, but, of course, Chip Kelly was beloved in the state of Oregon. As you know, Jovan, you follow sports so greatly, and you're such a fantastic media sports guy. He goes to Philadelphia. He's not afraid to shake it up. He's not afraid to cut Pro Bowl players. He's been accused of, favoring white players. I don't think that's probably accurate, knowing his history at the University of Oregon. And there's a lot to Chip Kelly, way beyond the football field. But what do the people really think of him back there now? after he's gone through another year?
I think when it comes to Eagles fans now, I think when it comes to Chip Kelly, they're pretty much, they're, you know, they love, a lot of them love the move that they're making. Like, if you don't believe in his culture, if you don't believe in team and all this person, we don't want you here, we don't need you here, even if you are a Pro Bowl player. But a lot of people, you know, they're worried. Like, you just don't see this happening in the NFL or any sports, to be exact, just getting rid of Pro Bowl caliber players, and then you just think, I'm just going to replace them like that. And he's banking on a lot of players who are coming off an injury, and that's a gamble into himself. So this year, fans are optimistic. They're cautiously optimistic because Philadelphia, especially when it comes to this football, if they don't want they want a winner. They want playoffs. They want Super Bowl. They just, the city of Philadelphia is starved for a championship. They want a champ. The people here want a championship, so they think the Eagles are the closest ones to get that. So people are cautiously optimistic about Chip and his moves, but they hope it plans out. But if not, then he's going to catch a lot of heat for all these moves he made these past two off seasons.
Jovan, Philadelphia, and you live there. You can attest to this much better than I can, but it has traditionally had a large and historic African-American population. Did the accusations made against Chip Kelly ever gain any traction, or did people just think, that we're not going down that road? And many of his African-American players sort of supported him once that broke out. What's the story on? What's the real story on that? And I know you'll have it.
The real story about that is pretty much that Chip, I think the player that said, LeSean McCoy, said, I think he was mad out of anger in the fact of that LeSean, LeSean McCoy spent his whole entire life and football career in the state of Pennsylvania. He's a Pennsylvania native, went to college at the University of Pitt, went to high school at Bishop McDevitt in Harrisburg. So he's been here a long time in the state of Pennsylvania. Then they end up cutting cut like that. It was a little hard. He took it hard. And I think some players say that. I mean, former Eagles offensive lineman Trey Thomas said something to the same notion as that, is the fact of how the Eagles really didn't do anything when it came to Riley Cooper dropping the infamous N-bomb on video at a Kenny Chesney concert. But I won't try to get into that whole, you know, is this coach racist or not, because I don't think he is. I think he believes in his culture a little bit way too much, in the fact of, you know, you just get rid of players before even, you know, giving them a second chance or whatever. But the racist thing, no. But the culture thing like it's his way or the highway, that's one thing I do not like about Chip.
Very interesting. In your own opinion, you broke it down both sides. Are the Eagles a threat to go to the Super Bowl this year, or is that completely out of the picture?
That's a great point, because I've been thinking about this whole entire offseason. If the Eagles can make the Super Bowl, I mean, it's possible. It's really possible. I don't think I think they can make the Super Bowl, but that's if everything, you know, works out perfectly. Like, the players that they got, the injured players they got, they got to be healthy. Sam Bradford got to be healthy. They traded Nick Foles, he's got to be healthy. Other player that they got, Kiko Alonso, the former Oregon linebacker, he's got to be healthy coming off the knee surgery. There's a lot of things that just got to go perfectly right. And when it comes to this division, I don't think they'll be able to get into the playoffs as a wild card team. I think they're going to have to win the NFC just because I think the NFC North is really strong, three teams deep with the Lions, the Vikings, and the Packers. I'm kind of excluding the Bears because they're just, you know, in nowhere land. And then in the NFC West, that's just the loaded division too. The Seahawks, Cardinals, Niners, and Rams, all those teams can make a playoff push for the playoffs. So that kind of leaves only one spot for the Eagles to fit into. So I think they're going to have to win the division. So can they make the Super Bowl? Yes, but things are going to have to go in their favor perfectly for that to happen.
Jovan, obviously there's got to be a lot of disappointment after a really great run the last couple of years with the Philadelphia Phillies. Are the fans up in arms about them, and are they staying away from the ballpark?
Oh, yes, they are staying away from the ballpark, and they are up in arms. If people don't know, the Phillies lost tonight 19-3 in Baltimore tonight. Yeah, so a lot of fans are already there. They want Ruben Amaro Jr., the general manager, fired. They want the manager fired. They're tired of seeing this product on the field. It tells you, watch a Phillies game. The stands are almost empty. They're almost empty. The fans are tired of this. They want to see a winning product. They want to see change. They want to see rebuilding. They want to see top prospects come up. They want to see, you know, the team make change and not be stuck in the same rut they have been stuck in for the past few years. So fans are definitely angry at what has happened with this team.
And, you know, Jovan, in closing tonight, another terrific job, and we'll have you on again very soon on the Greg Crawford on Sports Business Show. But, you know, just give us a little feel how passionate those Philadelphia sports fans are. And they get a little bit of a bum rap because there's some jerks that occasionally act up. But very knowledgeable fan base. I've spent time in Philadelphia. I love it. And I love the fact that they are so passionate about their sports, like you.
Yeah, definitely. Like you said, there's always in every sports fan base, there's always a few knuckleheads that, you know, give a bad rap for everybody, and you're still trying to defeat the notions of, oh, somebody threw snowballs at Santa Claus. You're still trying to defeat that notion for years, and people don't know the true story behind it, but you can find the true story out about behind it. But the fans are passionate. They're going to cheer you when you do well, and they're going to boo you when you play bad. They want to see winning product. Like I said, this city is starved for a championship. They want a winner. So anytime that they see their team playing, they're going to cheer. But if they're not, they're not going to support. They're not going to fill the stands. The Phillies, they haven't been filling the arena. Sixers, they really haven't had the best time filling the arena because of their losing. So it's things like that. So fans are passionate. I mean, the most passionate I've seen Philadelphia sports fans in the past few months literally have been at a Philadelphia Soul Game Arena Football League team, which Portland does have in the Thunder. A lot of fans fill up for Soul Games. It's the most craziest thing. And hopefully the Soul bring a championship to Philly. I wouldn't be opposed to that. An Arena Bowl championship, I'll take it. I mean, a lot of people won't recognize it, but I'll take it.
All right, Giovanna, the contract offer has been made. How would you like to come on each first Tuesday of the month with me?
I can definitely do that.
All right, then we're going to lock that in permanently. First Tuesday of the month on the Greg Crawford on Sports Business program. And that is going to be terrific. And we just made a deal right here on live radio. Great job tonight, look, Jovan. And how, once again, can people get a hold of you or follow you?
Pretty much people can follow me on Twitter at Jovan10, JOVAN10. You can follow Total Sports Live on Twitter at Total Sports Live. And just make sure you just write, check out TotalSportsLive.com. Me and my staff, who I give big credit to and shout out to, they've put out tremendous work the past few months of just giving people what they want, which is original content, not the news, just, you know, straight opinions and news and mixed with that, just original stuff. So just check out TotalSportsLive.com. So the staff I got over here really puts in a lot of good work.
Very good. Okay, we finalized it tonight. Jovan Alford, a tremendous talent, will be on the first day of every month, so that'll be coming up here in July on the Greg Crawford on Sports Business program, and we'll cover a lot of things way beyond Portland and Philadelphia, a lot of hot topics. It'll be great. Jovan, have a great week, and we'll talk to you very soon.
All right. Thank you again for having me on.
My pleasure. Thank you for coming on. That's Jovan Alford. You know he's going to be on. You love hearing him. You text me all the time about him. So we're going to be on back together again the first Tuesday of each month. I'm Greg Crawford. Follow me on Twitter at WC Hoops. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to make all your free throws and your putts. And Kevin Na wins the U.S. Open. Good night, everyone.